All right, let's everybody look over their right shoulder and look at the verse for today. So Thursday's verse is Joshua 14:8. We're going to meditate on that together for about 15 minutes. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So we heard this last night. Expound on this is the words of Caleb. Remember the mighty man Caleb. We're going to meditate a little bit on him, his life, this particular quote. And actually, as I was sitting there meditating this morning, this is a shout out to my dad, who is a preacher. I'm not a preacher, but he loves alliteration. He loves starting his points with all the same word. And it just today's verse is about the power of words, the promise of the following, and the peace after war. So that's a shout out to dad there. He would appreciate that. But all joking aside, two questions for you, okay, to lead off our discussion today. Number one, here's your question, and I truly want you to answer it. I'll give you a second even to think about it, to answer this question. Number one, who listens to you? So in other words, who are the people, very specific people, like my mom, my kids, right? Who listens to you? Who do you have the ear of? You've heard of this phrase like with the president of the United States, who has the ear of the president, right? Who are the people that he turns to and he wants to know about European foreign policy or the economy in Brazil, right? So somebody has the president's ear there. And so whose ear do you have? I guess that would be the way to say. So who listens to you? So think about it. Make a little list. You could stop with about 20 there. I'm sure everybody has several. And number two, what do they hear? So what is it that person that is kind of looking to you and says, hey, Jacob, what do you think about this, or and how do you handle this situation? What are they hearing, or what are they seeing from you in your life? So those are the two questions we're going to consider there. Specifically, we already, as the song service this morning, Brother Kevin was introducing us this thought of abiding with the Lord, of being near to Christ. That Christianity is all about a relationship, right? It's not just about what we believe or what we do. It's totally different than that, right? It's about a relationship. And so whenever people ask us for advice, whenever people just observe us handle a situation, are they seeing people that are all about morality and all about doing the right thing, all about kind of being self-made people and self-righteousness? Are they seeing people saturated with the gospel, saturated with this concept that Christ is our righteousness? We have this imputed righteousness given to us. We have nothing to prove. We're not trying to earn God's favor. We're not trying to be close to God so that he'll like us. It's just as Brother Kevin said, he loves us. He's washed us. We're his bride, just like a bride for a husband. And because of that, we live our life. So what are people seeing? Are they seeing this kind of, you know, I do it this way and this is the right way? Or are they seeing people saturated with the gospel? All right, so as we think about this verse, so this is a scenario. Let's see if we can recall the story of Caleb, the mighty man. In the history of God's providence, after he created the world, as you recall, he established a nation called Israel, right? These very special people who were his covenant people. He made very special promises, very special relationship with. He led them through Egypt. He led them out of Egypt. He gave them these wonderful experiences with. And up from the tribe of Judah came a man named Caleb, a mighty man, a young man with zeal and with strength. He was a strong man. He was a warrior. He was a man that knew how to handle a sword. And God raised him up at a very specific time for a very specific reason. Because you see, he was the one out of the whole tribe of Judah that the leader of this nation of Israel named, remember, Moses, the leader of the Israel, turned to him out of the tribe of Judah to say, I've got a special task for one man out of each tribe. It says, leaders out of their tribes, you're the man from Judah. And you're the man, I guess, Joshua was from Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim. So you're the man from Judah. You're the man from Ephraim. And there were 10 other men. Mighty man said, listen, we're on the banks of the Jordan River. Before us is the land that God promised. Spy out the land. Go tell us, how do we attack? And so he sent them through the south. It said they had to climb over a mountain to sneak into the land. These men, they were going, sounds like two by two. So these men go into the land and they spy it out. They say, ooh, okay, over here on the south, there's the giants. And over here on the north, there's the Hittites. And they've got these certain type of technology. And these guys, and there's some formidable imminent enemies. They spent 40 days traversing the land, spying it out. And they came back, right? They're giving a report back to Moses. That's what he asked them to do, to see how they could best enter this land and enter into the promise God gave them. Do you remember what happened, though? 10 of the men, what did they say? They said, oh, it's a beautiful land. Look at the grapes we brought back. But what? What did they say? Micah, what did they say? There's giants in the land. In other words, it is too hard. Right? It came down to that. I mean, it wasn't that they didn't think they necessarily could. They just thought, it's not worth it. We've got land here. We've got our children. We've got our families. I know God promised it, but it's just not worth it, right? Well, who was the man that spoke up? He was this very special man named Caleb of the tribe of Judah, this strong man. And what did he say? I could flip back to the verse, but he said, let's do it, right? He said, let's do it. We can do this. We can absolutely do this. They didn't listen, right? And as you recall, they were punished. They had failed to keep their end of the bargain. And so they delayed their entry into Canaan for 40 years. So let's look at our verse today. So this is a quote that Caleb now gives 40 years later as an 85-year-old man. And he's recalling this event. Do you remember, 40 years ago was a pretty good time. So he's recounting this as many of the people listening probably weren't there. So they're listening in, and he says, my brethren, these other 10 men, from each from one tribe, went up with me, made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So what is this concept about a melting heart? Has anyone felt that before? Think about a time when you felt your heart melt. Yeah? What do you think? What comes to mind? Any volunteers? Think about basketball teams, right? You know, if you're watching a game and you see the other team come out, you're like, they are so big, right? The other team always looks taller and bigger, don't they, right? What else? When your heart just melts, you go, oh, man, this is bigger than me. This is too big. And your heart melts. Well, that's the power. That's the first P, right? The power of words. When somebody says something to you, it just deflates you. You had this energy, like, okay, we can do this. And they tell you one piece of information, you're like, oh, no, we can't. Right? We've all had this many times, right? So the power of words. So I want to introduce this idea. Whose ear do you have? Who is looking to you? Who's asking you for counsel? And what are they hearing from you? Are they hearing words that make their heart melt? Okay, you're right. The Christian life is all about rules. It's pretty hard. Yeah, I'll slog along. Are they hearing something else? Are they hearing the gospel from you, right? We'll talk about what they could hear in just a minute. But so you could say things. Words are so powerful. So you got to realize that. Whether you're talking to your spouse, your kids, your mom, your brothers, sisters, your coworker, the words you say are very powerful. And you can cause people's heart to melt, or you can be like Caleb and cause people to have strength and zeal, as we hear about in a minute. He did accomplish his goal. At the age of 85, he led troops up this mountain, and they wiped out some giants. And that mountain became, they changed the name. It was called some giant's name, and they changed the name after they wiped them out. It's a pretty neat story. All right, so let's look at the verse. Everybody, if you got a Bible, flip over to Joshua 14, just because we can walk through a couple of these verses, pull out a couple points, and hopefully cause our hearts to be filled with joy at who our mighty general is, as we are his servants or his slaves or his soldiers or whatever relationship you want to think about. We've got a mighty king that leads us into battle, and so we are promised victory. So Joshua 14 is where this verse from today is located. Let's start at verse 7. And specifically, I want you to see if you can catch, just from this one verse, something about Caleb that you would like to be. Obviously, I'm not a sword fighter. I wish I were. It'd be very cool. I'd even settle for nunchucks. But I can't exactly be Caleb. But there's something in verse 7 that I can be. So let's see if we can find it, okay? Joshua 14, verse 7. 40 years old was I, you can just hear an 85-year-old man telling us, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Anybody see anything? Okay, well, I think there's only one thing there that we could do. We're not going to be spying out the land of Canaan. It's that very last phrase. Look, read that last phrase. I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Here's a man who said what he believed. He's faithful. Exactly. These other men, they were double-hearted. They said, I want to go in there, but we're too afraid. we want to, but the cost is too great. And he said, I gave it as it was in my heart. So here's a man who speaks from his heart. Here's a man, I don't know what he was like. I wonder if he was a man of few words. I wonder if he was a man that kind of weighed his words. Didn't speak until he had something to say, right? And then when he said something, it meant something. So he says, I spoke from my heart. I like that phrase. So I think as we think about speaking words that won't cause people's heart to melt, I think that's one principle, is speaking the truth. Just saying it like it is. Don't try to use words that sound better than they have to. Speak the truth, right? Okay, verse 8. Here's our theme verse, or today's verse. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. The one verse that jumps out at me out of that verse is the word but. Look back at the verse if you've got your Bible. Why does he use the word but? Nevertheless, they made the heart of the people, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So he's using this word, but it's a little key into the what actually drove Caleb to make this pronouncement, to take this step of faith. Say, well, hey, I'll lead the charge. The tribe of Judah, we'll jump in there. We've got our soldiers. We'll go. We're ready. What made him do that? It's that but I wholly followed the Lord. So he's saying, God said it. I believe it. I'm going to do it. Even though it looks a little shaky on the odds, right? So this gives you a hint into Caleb's heart. He says, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. My application for myself is, if I can wholly follow the Lord my God, just like this whole theme verse, this whole week is about being single-minded, not being double-minded, not trying to kind of follow the Lord and then not follow the Lord, but trying to pursue him with just everything I got. If you do that, it's going to change who you are from the inside out, and you'll find yourself taking stands or doing things on the second half of this verse. He says, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And it caused him to be this man of bravery, right? All right, let's run on to verse 9, and I think this is fun. What was the motivation? Why? Why would Caleb do this? Wouldn't it have been so much easier? 10-2. The odds aren't great, right? You can imagine each tribe stands up one after the other, and they say, oh, it's beautiful. But, oh, it's beautiful, but 10 times. And then Caleb stands up and says, Judah will lead the charge, right? So what is this? What is his motivation? So verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. I think he had a forward-looking passion and desire for the promises of God. Caleb was a man who believed in the promises of God. He knew if God promised it, it's gonna happen. And I trust it. I believe it. And so that created in him a rock solid foundation that couldn't be shaken by fear, by real bona fide fear. So believing the promises of God, that's my take home message from that verse, is when I believe the promises of God, it changes my motivation. It changes my heart to where I can then be a man that doesn't say things that make people's heart melt, but rather say things that encourage and strengthen my brothers. All right, so let's run down to verse 12. Two more verses here. Verse 12, he says, now, therefore, this is Caleb again, okay? So this is now, fast forward, it's 85-year-old Caleb, right? You think, it's been a long time, right? Since this great epic moment when he said, we'll lead the charge, and they said, uh-uh, we won't follow. Now he says, but. What does he say? Now, therefore, give me this mountain. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, this is the mountain. So they're standing here, and they know this is enemy territory. I mean, you don't go over there. You don't cross over. You know, they're mean. They're mean people over there, right? They're giants, literally giants. And he says, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities are great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. What about this phrase? See what jumps out. Tommy, what comes to your mind when you hear, if so be the Lord be with me? What's that? Trust. Excellent. I love it. Anything else? Put you on the spot. Faith. Absolutely. So what is this? What is this? This is somebody with a relationship with God, right? He has this relationship with God. God's not some impersonal master that he just kind of serves and kind of looks back over his shoulder every once in a while. He's saying, if the Lord's with me, I'm going to do it. Give me this mountain. If so be. And well, then another thing, it jumps out at me. This sounds a little different than if you're around church-going circles, you'll hear people say things like, well, I'm waiting on the Lord to open a door. Right? Sounds very religious. You know, it sounds very nice. I'm waiting on the Lord. When maybe it's just that you're being lazy, right? You know, I've definitely done that, right? I'm waiting on the world to change. So waiting on the Lord to open a door. As opposed to what he's saying, I know God promised this mountain. I know the will of the Lord is for us to take this mountain. I'm going. And if the Lord's with me, I'll be successful. You know, so he knows the promises. So he knows his word. He's been in the word. He knows the word. So he's got confidence as he goes. And he's trusting. He's faithful. Faith-filled. I love that phrase. If so be the Lord be with me. He's not saying, I'm going to wait for the giants to all die off of old age. And then the Lord will be with me. He's saying, I know and I'm trusting and I'm going for it. And so then the last verse of the chapter, after he wiped out the giants in the land, the name of Hebron, so this became Hebron, a very famous mountain filled with lore for the rest of Israelite culture, right? Through King David, Hebron had this great place in Judah. And so it all started with this. So the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, because Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. So what do we crave? What's something we all want in life, guys? What do we want? We want peace, right? We want to be able to live life and not be so hard, and we want peace. There's an inner craving for harmony and peace, right? How do you get that? You don't get it by just sitting there waiting on peace to come, right? That ambition, that godly zeal actually led to peace. So peace that followed a war. So I thought that seemed profound as I was meditating on today's verse. So the results of a life filled with faith and a life filled with zeal and ambition actually end up with peace. So you get that feeling sometimes where we can be restless if we're not, once again, probably if we don't believe the gospel for ourselves and we're trying to justify ourselves, we're trying to live our lives in a way that make God like us better. You know, feel, oh, maybe God, whatever struggle in your life you're having, if you think, maybe if I did that, God would love me more. Maybe then, you know, I would have more peace in my life. I would encourage you to think back. What are the promises of God? What has God revealed about himself? What is truth? What is reality? Right? And then pursue it with all your heart. Run hard for it. Don't rest until you conquer that battle.